We come now to our second lesson on He Shall Glorify Me. And we're thankful to be able to have you attend this second lesson as well. Appreciate your attendance and your prayers. John chapter 16, we'll just read that one verse, verse 14, and then we want to turn back over to John chapter 7. So John 16, 14, He shall glorify me. He, the Holy Spirit, shall honor. He, the Holy Spirit, shall magnify. He, the Holy Spirit, shall magnify me, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How shall he do that? He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. He's going to take what I am, literally. I am very God. I am the Savior. I am the shepherd of the bread of life. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the true vine. And he's going to show it to you. And when the Holy Spirit shows you who Christ is, not just what some people say that he is, but actually takes of the Lord Jesus Christ and shows him unto you, then that glorifies the Lord Jesus and it brings salvation to your soul. And we want to go back now to John chapter 7, and we'll begin reading in verse 33. Jesus speaking to the chief priests and officers in John chapter 7 and verse 33. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. Now, let's get this out to where we can see it. Ye national Israel, you, the chief priests and officers of the people representing national Israel shall seek me in my office of Messiah. You got to get this straight. National Israel shall seek the Messiah and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. They can't follow him into being Jehovah's Savior. They can't see him as the Savior of mankind, the head of the church. They could not receive him because they could not receive him as their Messiah. So national Israel shall not be able to find him because they're seeking the Messiah and they don't believe that he is. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he saith, ye shall seek me and shall not find me? See, it was a confusing thing to them, and it is to us too. But if you'll get it straight, and you'll, by the word ye in verse number 34 and in verse 36, understand he's talking about you, the officers that represent national Israel. National Israel shall seek Messiah and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man... Now understand, we're changing. The words ye in verse 34 and verse 36 is talking about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel shall seek me and shall not find the Messiah. But, changing now in verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Hold your place. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Another greatly misunderstood verse, but it goes right along with this. Ye national Israel shall seek Messiah and shall not find him, because you're going to have to find me, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you won't receive me. All right, Revelation 3:20. But if any man will thirst, he changes then from the nation to any individual person. If you are as an individual sinner seeking Christ, you're in good shape. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're not lost, he's not seeking and saving you. But if you are lost, if you're, the Holy Spirit has glorified Christ and showed you that you are a lost sheep, you will be found. No doubt about it. Listen, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I stand at the church door, I stand at religion's door and knock. If any man, again, he goes to the individual. Dear soul, the nation of Israel as a whole is not going to know Christ. Denominations in America as a whole are not going to know Christ. But there are going to be individuals within those things come out of her, my people. God's people are in those harlot churches and in those situations. Listen, if any man hear my voice, that's the problem. They can't hear the voice. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. If any man, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. So he's saying here that the Holy Spirit will glorify me to individuals, not to the nation of Israel as a whole, not to any denomination as a whole, not to any family as a whole, not to any national organization, but to individuals. So he says, and it gives us understanding that John chapter 3, Jesus speaks to one man, Nicodemus. No telling how many powerful messages have been brought from the third chapter of John down through the 2,000 years. But it was only given to one man. The fourth chapter of the book of John was given to one woman, the woman at the well, just one. So the Lord Jesus singles out individuals. The Holy Spirit brings glory to Christ to individuals' hearts. That's what he did to me when he woke me up. I was dead in trespasses and sins, but I didn't know it. I thought I was all right because I was a member in good standing with a religious organization. But I was not in the spiritual organism of the church. So the Lord woke me up. If any man hear my voice, I heard the voice within religion. Samuel heard the voice. Samuel, he answered Eli. That's what I did. I went to the preacher. I went to the church. I didn't know what was going on. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone He made me understand that it was the Lord calling me to Christ. He says, so we'll go back to John chapter 7. If any man thirst, John 7:37, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth into me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. That's as the scripture hath said. It's been said by the scriptures down through the centuries. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, in parentheses in verse 39, and this is what I wanted to get to. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him were about to receive, for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why? Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That's what I wanted to get to. They didn't understand what he was talking about, that rivers of living water could flow out of somebody's belly. He's talking about the Spirit of God flowing out of your heart. Not just a little, you know, a drop of water. Raindrops around us, mercy drops around us are falling, but for thy showers we plead. Rivers of living water. Not a well, you know, or a pool, but a fountain flowing. Rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Spirit. Why did they not understand it? Why was this not yet happening? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. What is our lesson title? John 16:14. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me. And when the Holy Spirit shall glorify me, he does it by taking of mine, showing you personally who and what I am, how I was sent, why I was sent, what I can do, what I am going to do, and how I'm going to glorify my Father by bringing in all of those that he elected in love from the foundation of the world. So the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Therefore, Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore, they could not understand his word. And that's our first statement. To have Christ's true and spiritual word depends entirely and completely upon the Holy Ghost. Dear soul, you may have been raised up in a Christian environment, in a religious environment, and you may know scripture verses, and you may have all kinds of orthodox traditions and still be lost without God. You don't have the truth and the spirit of Christ's word. The Father seeketh such to worship him. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How can you do that except the Father sending the Holy Spirit, sending the Son, who calls on the Father to send the Holy Spirit, and he glorifies Christ, and then you understand what it is to have rivers of living water flow from you. You become a fountain of life and water and springing up. And Solomon said, my beloved is as a walled garden. It's a garden with a wall around it that's protected and it's got this beautiful spring in it. So it's where we understand and come to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ effectually brings us out of darkness into light, bring us out of death into life, brings us out of religious tradition into the living reality of God. How does that happen? Jesus Christ said, the Holy Spirit takes of mine and shows it unto you. And in doing that, in showing me to you, he glorifies me. And they couldn't understand his word because Jesus was not yet glorified. So when Jesus then is glorified to you, then the Bible becomes a living reality. Then you have the words of spirit and of truth. He said, as the scripture has said out of his belly. Let me show you what the scripture has said. Look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 44. The book of Isaiah, chapter 44, in verse number 3. Let me read a few verses for you. Isaiah 44, 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. God's not talking about turning a desert into a garden, literally, physically, ground, dirt, you know, dry dirt, going to turn it into a lush garden. He's using that to make you understand and see how it is when he saves your soul. That dry place, that dry ground, he's going to pour rivers of living waters on it and turn you into one who has received the word of God. Look at Isaiah 55. I said I was going to read a few verses. Isaiah 55 and verse number 1. The King James says, ho, it means behold, everyone that thirsts, not everybody thirsts for God. It's a blessing to thirst for God. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Listen, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. These things are being said in the Old Testament, and he said, as the scripture has said in John 7:39, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, which has not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Spirit glorifying Christ brings you to understand the work of the Holy Spirit, because he takes of Christ and shows it to you individually. Then Isaiah 58, while we're here, Isaiah 58, in verse number 11, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." So this is what John 7, 38 and 39 is talking about. As the scripture hath said. How do you understand these scriptures? Well, it just means God's going to recover national Israel and going to save every one of them Jews. No, it doesn't. It means God's going to save spiritual Israel, and that no matter how destitute they are, how dry they are, how barren they are, no matter how much of a desert their soul is, God is going to send the Holy Spirit, who shall glorify Christ to your heart and change you into a watered garden. Ezekiel chapter 47. The book of Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse number 9. Ezekiel 47. In verse number 9. "And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, which whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh." It's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the fishers of En Gedi. Fishers. Fishing in these living waters. And what did Jesus say to the fishermen that he chose? These guys were literal fishermen. And what did he say to them? He said, "The reason that I've made y'all to be literal fishers is because I want you to understand you shall be made fishers of men." He's talking about the Holy Spirit raising up the glory of Christ, these apostles, disciples, preachers and pastors and teachers coming along, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ in the preaching of the word. They come by, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When they hear it, as the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ in that message, then they begin to perceive and understand and begin to receive Christ. Not a figment of their imagination. Not some dead Jesus on a cross. Not some little baby in a manger. Not just a miracle worker. Well, he raised people from the dead. But dear soul, why did he do that? Because you were dead in trespasses and sins. You had a worse death than being physically dead. You were spiritually dead. That was the whole purpose of raising up Lazarus. "I know that in the last day you'll raise him up." He said, "Listen, I am the resurrection. I'm standing here now as the resurrection. We don't have to wait till the resurrection at the end of the age for Lazarus to come forth. I am the resurrection. If I call him forth, and I am, I'm going to, he's going to come forth. But you're going to miss the picture that God wants you to see, that I'm not talking about just raising a dead man physically from physical death. I'm talking about those who are dead in trespasses and sins. They're walking around. They have an appetite. They have vision. They have understanding. They have perception. They have purpose in natural physical life. But they're still dead in trespasses and sins. And I'm going to raise them from the dead. When shall that happen? When the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ to the individual heart. No sinner was ever born again, was ever saved, whatever you want to call it, was ever regenerated unless they saw the glory of Christ. Dear soul, preachers have been saved after they have preached the legal, literal scripture. The letter of the law killeth. It's the spirit that is made alive. And all of a sudden, maybe even while they were preaching, maybe in their own preaching, God quickened them and made them see and understand and perceive for the first time of the glory of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden they knew that what they had been saying was just dead religious rhetoric. Just Polly wants a cracker. Just stuff. Well, we went to the Bible conference and I didn't hear anything new. But then you didn't hear Jesus. Well, you know, I got a Bible, but it's just dead to me. But did not our heart burn within us while he spoke to us, by the way? When did your heart burn within you? It's when the Holy Spirit glorified, magnified, honored the person of the Lord Jesus by taking who he was and showing him unto you, and it convinced you of sin. It convinced you of his righteousness, and it reestablished justice and judgment and honor within your soul. That's the three things Jesus said in John 16 would happen when the Holy Spirit came. Forget all this stuff that religion is talking about. We've got the Spirit. Well, we had a man run the aisles for Jesus. Really? He didn't have his eyes closed and didn't run into anybody. Yes, and we had a woman go down in front of the church and was slain in the spirit. And the rest of us ladies come and spread our dresses over her so that none of her nakedness would show as she flopped there on the ground as she was slain. Oh, come on, man. You're dealing more with demons than what you realize. Listen, dear soul, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. The holiness and the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is made evident and clear to you, and he's honored and magnified in your heart like he's never been before. And you say, I see the Lord high and lifted up. In the year when King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And I said, woe is me, for I'm an unclean man, a man of unclean lips. And I dwell among a people of... How did you know Israel was unclean? You didn't know that before. 5 chapters in Isaiah, you didn't know that. But come to the 6th chapter, what happened? I saw the Lord. Now I see my sin and I see Israel's sin. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit took of mine and showed it unto you. He shall glorify me. Dear soul, the reason that I need your prayers, and as they say, I covet your prayers, is because this is the foolishness of preaching without the Holy Spirit. So we ask you to join together with us, not just for me, but for you. I pray for you. You pray for me. And we pray that Jesus Christ would be glorified and that his kingdom would come on earth and that the kingdom would be extended into the hearts and minds of those that hear this word. Pray for it. Ask God to add the rivers of living water, the showers of blessings. Ask the Lord to have the Holy Spirit to flow out of their belly like a living stream. And we can, because now Jesus is glorified. He shall glorify me. They understood not that they were speaking of the Spirit because Jesus was not yet glorified. But lo and behold, you can understand that even with a knucklehead like me preaching to you, because now the Holy Spirit has come. Jesus did go back to the Father. He kept his word. He did pray the Father and ask him to send the Holy Spirit, and God did send the Holy Spirit, and now Jesus is glorified, and all you need do is ask the Lord with earnest prayer, Lord, have mercy on lost sinners. Lord, have mercy on me who I'm a born-again, professed believer. Show Jesus fresh and new to me. Glorify Christ to me today. Don't let this video be just a video of some man trying to give us a Bible lesson. Lord, let it be me, you individually, with Christ himself, that God manifests himself to you, the Holy Spirit glorifying Christ in your heart. What good is it for me to come over here and do all of this, and for you to sit and listen to this, and for us to wear out Bibles, if Christ is not glorified among us? But Brother Gene, how are we going to get that done? We ain't going to get it done except we come to understand and see the honor and the magnitude of Jesus Christ and pray that God would deal accordingly as I see his glory. Let it convince me of sin, of his righteousness, and reestablish judgment in my heart. And do away with legalistic morality and come to a imputed righteousness. God is so good. That's what this is all about. We want to get to some other things. Our time is short. Listen. John 6:63. You need to know this. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, listen, they are spirit and they are life. But I heard sermons for many months, many years even, and it didn't have any effect on me. I just dreaded having to go sit under it. But then one day something happened, and the words were different. It was the same Bible. It was the same preacher. It was the same church. But the Holy Spirit glorified Christ in my heart. And now old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I am seeing the Lord now like I've never seen him before. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. It is expedient for you that I go away. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You will have the commentaries on the inside of your soul. You will have, as the old preacher said, the schoolhouse, the school books, and the school teacher within your soul. You will have the Holy Spirit as your guide. And when you hear something being preached and it didn't set well with you, you take it to the Lord, and God will show you that wasn't of the Lord. How did you know that? Because you learn to judge all truth. It really ain't truth. I don't know what other, all doctrines according to the Holy Spirit that's within you. That's the way that it is. John 5:39, one of the first verses that God made effectual to me and set me out on my journey. In John 5:39, search the scriptures. Okay, I was doing that. That's what I did. But you need to adjust your attitude towards the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Well, I memorized the Bible. Didn't it say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? Yeah, but it wasn't like I interpreted. I interpreted it like faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the Bible. That ain't what it said. It said hearing comes by the word of God. And the scriptures say in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. And that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to your heart. So watch out. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Well, I thought I did have eternal life by knowing the scriptures. What's the rest of the verse say? But the scriptures are they which testify of me. Dear soul, if these scriptures are being used to bring you to anything or any person other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. The scriptures are exclusively given that you might come to know Christ. That's all that God has intended them for. He is that, the subject of everything that is in the Word of God. Acts chapter 13, verse 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. They got together, they dedicated their lives, they wore different clothes, they did different things. They were called officers of the church, and they were called rabbi, and they were called this, but they didn't know God. What good was all that stuff they went through and all that they did? They knew him not, therefore they didn't understand the scriptures. This is Acts 13:27. Nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled the prophets in condemning Christ. Why? Because they knew him not, but they had the Bible. Dear soul, I had the Bible, but I didn't know the Lord. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Don't get into your Bible looking for doctrine. Get into your Bible looking for the doctor himself, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow on your knees spiritually, if you can't physically, before you read the scriptures and say, Lord, take the veil away. Remove the scales from my eyes. Help me, Lord, that I might perceive and understand. What are you really asking? You're asking that the Holy Spirit would glorify Jesus to you, that you might take, he might take of Christ and show it unto you and manifest the person of the Lord Jesus unto you. Now, again, number one, to have Christ's true and spiritual word depends completely upon the Holy Ghost. Number two, to have the Holy Spirit depends upon Christ's glory. Those two things are absolute. If you don't get anything else from this message, from these messages, get those two things. You can't have Christ's true and spiritual word except by the Holy Spirit exclusively. Nothing else. You can buy every commentary down at the bookstore and read every one of them and still not know the Lord. You need to come to the Holy Spirit and cry out to him, Lord, glorify Christ to my heart. So the only true and spiritual word you can receive is by the Holy Spirit. Number two, to have the Holy Spirit depends upon Christ's glory. You don't have the Spirit unless Christ is honored and glorified and established in your heart. Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. Acts 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. We read that passage in the earlier message. Let me read you another verse. In verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel assuredly know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. They couldn't see the glory. They crucified him. But now that the Holy Spirit has come, they said, oh my goodness, we've crucified the Lord of glory. God hath taken that shameful thing that we put on that cross. We spit on him. We blasphemed him. But now God hath made him both Lord and Christ. And they cried out to the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. You need to repent of what you've done to Christ, and you will receive the Holy Spirit, and he will magnify Christ to your heart, and Christ will cleanse you and forgive you of your sin. Isn't that good? 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, and this is such a precious verse. 1 Peter, chapter 1, and verse number 21. It's talking about Christ, a lamb without blemish or without spot in verse 19. Well, let me read you verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Listen, verse 21. Who by him, by Christ, do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Dear soul, you are not going to have faith and hope except God has given Christ glory. You say, well, he has historically given Christ glory. Understand that. That is a historical happening. But what it's talking about, has he given Christ glory to you? Has he magnified Christ to you? He shall take of mine and show it unto you. He shall glorify me. Has the Holy Spirit glorified Jesus in your heart? God has to give Christ glory, quote, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh, my soul, we need to get back to the glory of Almighty God. Sin has robbed us of the glory. All of sin and all of sin and come short of the glory of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ has been glorified by the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit and when the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ to your soul, then you are able to receive him as Lord and Savior. Just a few verses. In 1 John, and we'll finish. 1 John, chapter 2, and verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. I don't care how much anybody says they have the Father. Well, we be of Abraham's seed, you know. We believe in the Father of Abraham. Not if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. How do you believe you're saved when the whole world lies in wickedness? Listen. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. I understand and see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ like I never did before. I'm amidst of, Isaiah said, I'm amidst of people of unclean lips, but I can see the Lord high and lifted up. Have you been brought out of? Maybe not physically, literally, you're still in that same house, you're still at that same church building, whatever. But spiritually speaking, you've come out of her, my people. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. last verse, 2 John, verse 9. 2 John, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Dear soul, has Jesus Christ been glorified unto you? If he has, you have the Father and the Son. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You have the whole thing if you have Christ as your Savior, and he has been glorified by the Holy Spirit. I trust you will enjoy the next rendition of Brother Bobby Quick's talent. Bless his dear soul. Pray for him as he comes. I'm so thankful that he does and renders you that which the Lord has given him. God bless you, Brother Bobby.
Thank you, brother.
The scriptures say the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And certainly the preaching, singing, whatever, is for the glory of God. It is to be used for the glory of God. And I want to read a scripture here real quick, a couple. In Ephesians 5:19-20 says, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks always in all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we're supposed to do. Well, I'm going to try to do that with the help of the Lord right now. I must tell Jesus, a little bit different rendition than you're used to, but we'll see how it works out. Thank you. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. He can help me to bear all of them. I must tell Jesus all of my trouble. He is a kind. But ask him, he will deliver, make of my trouble quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. Now that the world lures me to evil,